Morning, Honey Rich family. I'd like to bring a short devotion to you this morning from a passage which we find in 2 Chronicles, which I hope is going to encourage you today and in our current circumstances. In this passage, we're introduced to Jehoshaphat. Now, the passage that I'm going to be looking at is found in 2 Chronicles 20. But just to give some context, we first read of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 17, when we were introduced to him. And from verse 1, we see that Jehoshaphat reigned in the place of his father. In chapter 17, verse 3, we read, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not according to the practices of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord, and furthermore he took the high places and the Asherim out of Judah." And then a little bit further in verse 10, we read how Jehoshaphat's reign was accepted by the people. Because in verse 10 we read, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah, and they made no war against Jehoshaphat." Now in chapter 19, we read that Jehoshaphat introduced a number of reforms for his people to bring them back to God and also just to reestablish them as a society. And this was received very well by the people. But like always, when someone is trying to do good, bad people and bad things are not far behind. And we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is the passage that I want to focus on in our devotion this morning, from the 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 12. "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Menuhites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazon Tamar.' Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. For all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court. And he said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hands are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? And they have still lived in it, and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, "If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Just notice that firstly, when Jehoshaphat received the news that the armies were coming to invade him in verse 3 of chapter 20, the first thing that he did was to seek the Lord. Verse 3 says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Now, what's comforting is that although God was with Jehoshaphat, he still felt fear and was afraid. But his first reaction was to seek the Lord. And then he assembles all of Judah together and calls them to worship God. And once all the people were together, in verse 6 we read, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms and the nations. In your hands are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." You see, notice that the first reaction of Jehoshaphat in this time of fear and crisis was to come before the Lord and to worship him. And then I'd like you to notice particularly verse 12. Verse 12 says as follows, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This is a remarkable verse because it shows us just how honest Jehoshaphat was with God. You see, his honesty was that Jehoshaphat found himself in a place where he just did not know what to do. He recognized that he was completely powerless against the enemy that was before him. Even though he was king, even though he had many resources and all the things that a king would have recourse to at his disposal, he recognizes that he's absolutely powerless to what lies before him. In fact, not only did he feel powerless, but he felt absolutely useless, because in verse 12, further on, it says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I really take great comfort out of this passage, and particularly this verse 12, because there have been many situations that I've come across or I've been involved in where I've felt absolutely powerless. In fact, it's been worse than that. I've felt powerless and I've not known what to do next. But Jehoshaphat gives us an answer when he says, but our eyes are on you. So I wondered, what does it mean when he says, but our eyes are on you? Well, I think firstly, Jehoshaphat worshiped God for who he is. You'll remember that in verse 6, the first thing that Jehoshaphat did when he'd assembled all the people was to worship God. He did this even before he brought his concerns and his fears to God. He worshiped God. And that's an important principle for us to remember. When faced with a difficult situation, when faced with a situation where we are powerless and don't know what to do, the obvious first place to start is to worship God. Secondly, he shared his fears with God. He was honest with the situation that faced him, and he simply said, Lord, we're powerless and we don't know what to do, but you know what to do. So as I thought about what we're currently facing with the coronavirus, I couldn't help but think that Jehoshaphat's example is a good example for us to follow at the moment. It's got to the stage when really we're powerless against this enemy that seems to be attacking us. And for many people, as they look at the future and they look at what's happening around them, there's much despair. And many people are just saying, Lord, we don't know what to do. Well, can I encourage you as I encourage myself to set our minds on Christ, to worship him, to share our fears with him, and then to trust him that he is in control of what our future entails. Now, practically speaking, I just find that at this time we're bombarded with so much news and information. And if you look at the tenor of the news, a lot of it is negative, and it's so easy to become discouraged when we read about the things that are going on and the sensationalism that journalists add to their news pieces. And so I've taken the conscious decision to be circumspect and discerning with what news I read and how much news I read. I've also taken the conscious decision to spend more time doing what Jehoshaphat has encouraged us to do, namely worshiping God, spending time in his word, and balancing what I'm feeding my mind with. Because if I rely entirely on the news that bombards me on a daily basis, then it's very easy to become doubtful and discouraged. Can I urge you to do the same as well? Well, going back to our passage, what was the result? And I'd encourage you to read the rest of 2 Chronicles 20. But just as a bit of a spoiler, in verse 15, we read these words. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Then if you carry on reading, you'll read a remarkable way in which God just delivered his people from the enemy that was about to attack them. Then we read in verse 21, and when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. So as you meditate on these words, can I bring to mind again verse 12, when Jehoshaphat says to God, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So let's pray. O Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you at a time like this, and we can simply acknowledge you for who you are, that we can worship you because you are the great God. O Lord, our prayer is that the hidden knowledge that we have of your promises would move to our hearts, and that as we face this very real difficult time and a faceless enemy in many respects, that the things that we know intellectually about you, who you are, and the promises that you make in your word would become a reality in our hearts. Lord, that we would filter out all the news that would seek to discourage us, cause us to fear the future, and that we would simply turn towards you and fix our eyes on you. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you only wish the best for us. In Jesus' name, amen.